But when it happens that way, that means you are on the road to success. Because, you know, sometimes it's left to our minds as preachers to say, well, this is what the people will need. But when God interrupts you and says that this is what the people need, it means that there's somebody here that needs this message. Amen. Amen. We're going to start, you know, in the series, well, two messages, spiritual empowerment. Tonight, I'm going to look at it from one dimension. And it's the dimension of the prophetic. We've done that in the past when we came here. But tomorrow, if God permits me, we're going to look at it from the dimension of the apostolic. Okay, and simply, the prophetic is just basically the ability to see. The ability to see what God is seeing. Okay, and so everybody say, prophets see. Okay, the apostolic means to go. Or the ability to do what you are seeing. Okay? So tonight we're going to tap into God's supernatural ability to see how God sees. Okay? So that by the grace of God, you know, by tomorrow we'll be able to understand how to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And so I'm going to share with you from a message which I've never preached. I don't think I've ever preached it in our church. But I might have actually shared it, you know, when we were in Golders Green, when we used to meet in the house, just about six of us. I might have shared it briefly, but I haven't touched it in almost 13 years, okay? And so I believe very strongly that there's a purpose for that. And so I'm going to be talking to you tonight about awakening the watchman in you. It's basically waking up the watchman in you. And as I proceed, you will understand why. You see, I have read many books. I also teach on various topics. You know, I've taught on developing the leader in you. You know, John Maxwell has a book on that. If you've ever watched Joel Austin, their slogan is developing the champion in you. I have a message on that, not Joel Austin's type. I've never heard him preach on that. And then there's a man called Anthony Robbins. Have you heard of him? Okay, I've never read any of his books. I don't think I would. You never know, but I haven't read them. And he has a book called Awakening the Giant in You. Of all these things to awaken and develop, I think the most important is to awaken the watchman in you. The leader is important. The champion is important. The giant is important. But if you don't awaken the watchman, the giant will be killed. If you don't awaken the watchman, the leader will be taken into captivity. If you don't awaken the watchman, the champion will lose the battles. So I want you to turn with me, if you can, to two openings. The first being in the book of Psalms chapter 127. The book of Psalms, chapter 127, and we're going to be reading verse. I'll read from the you can read from the screen if you don't have a Bible, but it's good to have one. Psalm 127, from I believe it's verse 3 or 4, one of, and it says, "Are you there?" It says, "Unless what verse is it?" Verse 1. Okay, unless the Lord builds what? They labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards or watches over the city, the watchman stays what? Awake in vain. Before I move on to the supporting text, this basically is saying that unless God is involved in whatever project you are involved in, that project is a labor in vain. Unless the Lord is involved in your academics, your study, unless he instituted it, you are wasting a few years of your life. Unless the Lord is involved in your marriage, unless he instituted it, you have just pursued a wild dream. Unless the Lord is involved in your career and the building of your business, you're on your own. But then the second verse says, unless the Lord guards the city, which means God might have actually asked you to go into the business, might have asked you to go into the marriage, to start a family, to start the career, to start the course of study or that project. But unless God also watches it, it says that if you wake up, stay awake and watch over that business yourself, you are doing it in vain. So you want to involve God in the starting or the building or the commencement of that project, but also you want to involve God in maintaining it, in keeping it. And what does it mean to involve God? You see, you and those of us who live in this part of the world may not be cognizant with who a watchman is. In the part of the world I was born and grew up, we have some people called, they call them watch knights. Okay, yeah, here we call them security. We have CCTVs here, yeah? In my part of the world, we have human CCTVs. Only that these human CCTVs sleep. They don't watch anything. They're there. If God is not watching you, and you have a watch night, you're on your own. Because when the thieves come, they run. Okay? So when I say watchman, some of you may understand that. It's basically a man, mostly men, who stand, you know, as sentinels, as guards over a house. They are there to supposedly protect it. They're supposed to, the idea is watch, to keep their eyes open to see what is coming. But then this scripture is saying that no matter how proficient a watchman is, no matter how alert, no matter how prudent he is, if God is not watching, that city or that house or that is in trouble. And why does he say that? He says that because watchmen are limited in that they only have two eyes in the natural. And that the things that are coming into your house, yeah, some of them, okay, you cannot see with your two eyes. Now, for those of you who are very natural people, who are logical, before you get a bit nervous on me, let me just explain to you. First of all, I'm a medical doctor by training. So I was trained for 7 years to see things scientifically and logically. But you and I know that it is not only things that are seen that can cause trouble. Okay? So it's not just the weapons of war, weapons of mass destruction. Even nuclear power is not seen. But more so, we even have other things that are close to us. Viruses and bacteria are unseen, but they are real, and they kill. You cannot ignore the fact that because they are unseen, that they are not powerful, okay? Now, so this scripture is saying basically that let's leave out the supernatural, the spiritual, that there are things that can go past the watchman that are invisible, like a viral illness, like a plague, that the watchman's sword will not be able to, as it were, stop. But spiritually speaking, I want you to understand that there are spiritual or supernatural elements. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. One translation puts it this way. It says, we wrestle against personalities without bodies, which means they are persons like you and I. Can you please stand, please? What's your name? Come, please. Just come against me like you want to fight me. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Like, come. You see, it's one thing for him to come against me. I can't see him. Like, you know, if he tried to throw me a punch, I could dodge him. But imagine if he were invisible. He's still a personality, isn't he? I mean, he has dimensions. I mean, I was going to share a message with you, but I don't think I will do it this time, about Goliath. When he comes against you, Goliath is real. Goliath has dimensions. He's a giant, but you don't need to be afraid of him because he has parameters, he has limitations. The same with spiritual entities. They are real. They are personalities. If I went this way, he would go that way. He can dodge me if I try to hit him, yeah? That means he's intelligent. But the only thing is that he's unseen, which means I am disadvantaged, isn't it? Because he's a personality, he can see me. So if I put a watchman here to guard this, he will walk past the watchman, knock him on the head, and knock him out and kill him. Yeah, why? Because he cannot. So that's why he says, unless the Lord watches over the city, unless the Lord is involved with the watchman, those who keep the city keep it in vain. Now, it says in Psalm, let's give a hand clap to the gentleman. Isaiah 56 says, even goes further by saying, in verse 6 to 10, we're talking about spiritual empowerment. It says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful where? In the, let's say it together, in the house of what? In the house of eating, is that what it says? In the house of jumping. In the house of dressing. It says, I will make joyful in my house of prayer. Let's move on. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted where? On my altar. For my house shall be what? Called the house of dancing. It shall be the house of business. Is that what it says? It says, my house shall be what? A house of prayer for all nations. Then it says this, all you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. What it's saying basically is that the house of God should be the house of prayer. And when the house of God is the house of prayer, regardless of whether it's a house of prayer or not, the beast of the field and the beast of the forest will come to devour. Now, the beast is talking about here are the spiritual entities that we do not see. Okay? Now, it says in verse 10, it says, his watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot what? Bark. If you don't have a watch knight or a watchman, what else can you use? Precisely, they're called watch dogs. In fact, dogs are probably better watch animals than humans. Because, interestingly enough, they say dogs actually have some kind of extrasensory. This is what they say, I don't know if it's true. Perception that if there's something, if they're, you know, spirit or whatever, they can actually pick, they start whining. I don't know, maybe they operate at some level. But it says here, or they start to bark. But then it says that the people that have been set up as watchmen, they cannot bark. They are sleeping. They are lying down, loving to slumber. His watchmen are blind. They cannot see. They are only natural. They can only see in the physical. They are ignorant. They have no knowledge. They are dumb dogs. They don't even talk. They cannot bark. And they love to sleep. They love to lie down. And they love to slumber. And then he says, yes, they are greedy dogs. This even makes it worse. Not only do they love to sleep, they also love to eat. I'm not, sorry, this is not you he's talking about. Well, I hope not. I'm just, you know, I didn't write these scriptures. He says, which never have enough. Now, this actually qualifies it, what the statements better. Because you see, the watchmen he was talking about here are the leaders of Israel. The prophets, the kings, and the priests. That these people shirked their responsibility. They forgot what it was that God had called them to. And guess what? They began to pursue after their own gains. It says that they never have enough. You know, and this is one of the greatest traps of us as Christians. You know, we are so concerned about getting more, about that bigger building, or that bigger, larger house. If we have a two-bedroom, no, we're not satisfied until it's three. If we have three, we're not satisfied until it's four. Does anybody feel me? Uh-huh. If we have a particular car, it's not until it is a Jeep, we're not happy. So it says that, look, the pursuit of these things makes us such that we begin to shirk our responsibilities as watchmen. It says they never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own territory. This is the greatest undoing of the church. Because of our busyness to look for our own way or our own gain. Oh, look, man, we have to make money. You know, we have to buy that bigger house or that new car or this or the other. And there's nothing wrong in those things per se. And we have a career to pursue. Nobody is watching anymore. Nobody is standing in that place as a watchman. Now, let me tell you why it's important to watch. And who is a watchman? Again, I've given you by an illustration. I don't need to define what Webster says or Oxford, you know, or Chambers for you to understand who a watchman is. A watchman is somebody who was placed by another person in authority to stand watch over a property or over a people or over something or the other. A watchman is somebody who is responsible for keeping guard, for standing watch. So it's a responsibility, it's a role. And in understanding that role, and how does that apply to you? You see, in the New Testament, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, a bishop, and the word bishop, everybody say bishop. Bishop is gotten from the word, the Greek word, episkopos. Epi means over, okay? Epi as in epidermis. The dermis is the one under, isn't it? The epidermis is the one over, so over the dermis. And scopus is from the word scope, or the word scope is from the word scopus, which means to view or to see. So who is an episcopus or a bishop? Is one that sees over, or over what? Sees, okay? Now, an overseer is a leader, isn't he? So if you have 10 people working a field and you say that person is the overseer, it means he's the supervisor. In fact, the word supervisor is the same as overseer. Super means over, vice means to see. The one that sees over the people, okay? Now, you and I know that an overseer, a supervisor, is a leader, isn't it? Okay, so when the Bible says a bishop, it's saying an overseer or a leader then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, these are the characteristics or the qualifications of a good watchman. He must be somebody who is not involved, you know, in sin, who is not, you know, one thing in church and something else somewhere else. And I will tell you why this is important. Because other people do not see his life. So he looks sanctimonious in church. But guess what? Those spirits, sorry, what's your name again? Onas. Onas. What does it mean? Well, what does the full name mean? This one too is a child. Ah, you are a real child. This one too is somebody. Okay. Onas, please come again. Isn't it? This one too is. So, what was I saying before I got into Onas' business? Yeah. Yes, yes. I said the spirit, it says, we wrestle against what? We wrestle not against flesh, tangible people. So it's not your mother-in-law that's your problem. It's not your boss that is your problem. Not your husband that is your problem. There are some personalities that are in your house with you, whispering into your husband's ears. There are personalities in your house whispering to your wife's ears. They are the ones bringing, causing a major conflict between yourselves. And these persons, listen to this. You see, while the other people see you as sanctimonious, lifting up your hands in church, this invisible guy follows you around and he knows your business. He knows what you are doing on the internet. He knows what you are saying to the lady that nobody else heard. Okay? And so that's why I said they must be blameless. Yeah, because you can't see them, but they can see you. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. It says he has to be a husband of one wife, which means a husband of one wife in reality. Not that he has one in the house, but two in town. Okay. And then he mentions something which is so very important here. The person has to be vigilant. Everybody say the word vigilant. You know, this morning when I woke up, it dawned on me that, hey, being a leader is not easy. It means you have to have your eyes open. And any kind of leader, and the higher up you go, the more the responsibility. One of these, you see, I have about 4 or 5 messages I want to share with you, but I only have time for 2. One day I will share with you, are you ready for your mantle? Okay, I think it's on TV now. That's what's showing on. So if you want, the second part will show tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. on Ben Television. Okay, so this person has to be of good behavior and then all the rest. But the key words here are a bishop, an overseer, or a leader must be vigilant and must be sober. Everybody say vigilant again. The word vigilant means must be watchful. Now, I'm going somewhere. It means that if you are a leader over anything, you cannot afford not to be vigilant. You cannot afford not to be vigilant. Then following vigilance, he adds another word, sober. You see, that's why people who say that, oh, well, there's nothing wrong in drinking wine or beer or whatever it is. The truth of the matter is, the Bible says all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. It's, if you feel it's your choice to drink wine or Bailey's ice cream, that's your choice. But you know what? Because that word sober follows very closely to vigilant, I won't drink. Because I have enough challenges keeping my vigilance even when I am sober. Not to talk of if I've had a shot of Baileys. Not only will you not see the unseen, you will not see the seen. Does that make sense? So let's leave that for your pastor to deal with. But so basically, who should be a watchman? Every pastor needs to be a watchman. You see, the more people you lead, the more vigilance you need. You know, if first of all, as an individual, you need to be a watchman over yourself. Okay? Let me even use a natural watch, what you would call a natural watch. Every woman who is of a mature age should be watchful over their body. At least once or twice a year, you should do a breast scan. Hello? Don't be so spiritual. You need to have a medical watch. You need to be vigilant. Because these days, at least up until recently, we haven't, you know, gotten that kind of spiritual technology yet. Well, we will get. That's what we're talking about. But at the stage, whereby, you know, if a cancer cell starts acting in your body, immediately you get some kind of warning. Or does anybody have that? So since we don't have that yet, you want to be physically what? Vigilant, as it were. Okay? And I will tell you why in a short while. So, but pastors, every pastor needs to watch over. That's why it says, the Bible says to watch over their flock. The watch means not just physically visiting them, but to keep your eyes in the spirit over them. Is that clear? You see, people who want large churches just want more problems. Yes. Because you know what God says? He says, we will give account of every soul. Hey! So if you have 4,000 souls, you have to watch over everyone. So if you are leading a house fellowship, you better be glad that's all you have. Okay, but the point, husbands need to be vigilant. They need to be watchful over their families, over their wives, and over their children. And I'm coming to the final details. Listen to it. They need not just watch over their own body, but also their wife's body. Watch over their wife's health. Watch over their children's health and everything that concerns them, which means you have to have an eagle eye. Am I making sense? Because you know what? Every single one of us will give account. And parents need to be vigilant over their children. Seriously vigilant over what they watch, over what they don't watch. You know, you have to have an eagle eye over the physical and over the spiritual. I mean, time will not permit me to say some things, but, you know, there are things that are picked up, you know, while in prayer, and, you know, we start to pray right now. I remember one time, I think he was there, that they were praying in my house, and I said we should start praying for my son. And then a few minutes later, I got a phone call from his school. Minutes that he had just fallen down and hit his head badly, and that, you know, I needed to come and take him to the hospital, and that, you know, we had to go and check him to make sure that, you know, he hadn't had any intracranial bleeding or anything like that. But where he hit his head, and the way he hit his head, even the school people, the nurses, they were afraid. But and the bump was serious. But you see, I believe that God, even though we could not see, unless the Lord watches over your children, you watch in vain. Okay? So, but we were watching in prayer, and we were watching with the Lord. And the Lord who sees all things protected that boy. Okay? Now, on my way here, well, as I was leaving the house, you know, my kids, I tried to spend as much time as possible with my kids. They were playing around. And, you know, I promised them to do fireworks, you know, and I wanted to do it personally. Okay? So, my last son said to me, he said, "Dad, where are you going to?" I said, "Milton." He said, "Do you have to go?" And, you know, I said, "Yeah, I have to." He said, "But you're always going, you're always traveling, blah, blah, blah." He said, anyway, I listened to him intently because I was trying to find out what he was saying or thinking, okay? And then he then said something. I didn't hear him because the TV was on. He said it again. I didn't hear him. He said it, but I kept saying, "What did you say, Tola?" He was walking further away and saying that thing. I could have easily just said, "What is he saying?" And then, but there was a lady around who apparently heard him. She said, "Pastor, what he said was that, 'Daddy, I want you to anoint me before you leave.'" Now, I was like, you know, he said, "Will you, Daddy, will you anoint me before I leave?" You know, I could have just said, what is all the muttering about? Now, unfortunately, I forgot to anoint him before I left. Okay? But you know what? All through while I was in the car, I was praying, you know, that God anoint him. Because I don't know why he said so. Does that make sense? Yeah, I don't know why he said so. And you see, sometimes the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has, I don't know why, but God knows. So I just prayed for him, like God will anoint him. And as a boss, if you're a boss, you need to be watchful over your staff. Watchful to protect them, and also watchful, you have to have a watchful eye on everything. You don't know what your staff are doing. And when I say you don't know, you can't open your eyes all over the place. It is only God that will reveal the unseen to you. And if time permits, I will share some things with you. Like I said, as an individual, you have to watch yourself. Watch yourself. Pray for yourself. Now, why are all these things important? When I say governor, I'm speaking of a political leader or a leader of an institution, a business or the other. You need to be watchful. There was an incident a few years ago. A notable church in this country, in London, a little child apparently went to the restroom, and I don't know, there was some kind of chemical or so, cleaning agent, a 2-3 year old child. She crawled in, or he crawled in, and took it and, you know, kind of tried to drink it, and it poured over him or her. And excuse me, the child developed, you know, terrible burns, keloids, really, really bad, that the parents of the child sued the church. It was so bad, you know, so bad that the church was almost went bankrupt. Now, the pastor is not the cleaner, is he? But you know what? Who is responsible? What I'm saying to you is this. Does it help to go before the service to all the toilets and check? That's why I said, unless the Lord watches over the city, those who watch in vain. That's what you call a satanic trap. Unless the Lord watches over, I mean, you just find that, you know, that scripture that we read, beasts of the field will come and devour. You know, cause major trouble. And why am I saying all these things? Because you see, thieves are very much around. And when I say thieves, I mean, let me put it in context. In the spiritual, they are thieves. In the physical, they are thieves. But I'm not even so much concerned about the physical thieves here. It's the spiritual ones I'm concerned about. And why do I say that? If you look at scripture, you find that scripture is replete with different thieves that they talk about. John 10:1 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is the thief and what? A robber. For Jesus to have said that, it means that there are some people or some elements that are trying to come in not through the door, but through what? Another way. Okay? So, if Jesus tells us about these thieves that are trying to come in another way, we must be very, very vigilant, isn't it? Not just to watch the door. The door is the most obvious mode of entry. It is the legitimate mode of entry, which means these thieves will try to come in through other modes. And so we need to be watchful. Then the other one is the thief does not come. Some people just, they only read up to that point. And in their own Bible, the thief does not come, so they sleep. Some people read Ephesians 6 and they read, we wrestle not, and they stop there and they sleep. So the thief does not come, we wrestle not, so let's go and party. Please keep reading. The thief does not come except to what? Steal. And to what? Kill. And do what? Please read it well. The thief, let's put it this way, the thief comes, but he doesn't come without an agenda. When he comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then Jesus says, I have come, that what? That you may have life, and to have what? Eat more abundantly. So, what Jesus Christ makes it very clear that the thief will come. And when the thief comes, you and I have just understood that he comes on sin. He's not a physical thief. And so when we say steal, kill, and destroy, he comes with a very specific agenda into our lives, into our churches, into our families, into our business. This thief is a subtle, silent, but strategic thief. And he has a very clear mission. It is to rob you, take you your money from you, take your peace from you, take your joy from you. It is to kill your hopes and your dreams and to take your life from you and to destroy you. But Jesus said, I have come. Tell the next person to you, say, he has come. And he has come to give you what? Life. And give it to you more abundantly. Another one says, be sober. Again, look at the next person to you. Say, when you're drinking wine, remember, be sober. That's why I'm happy with Lucozid. Be sober. Be what? Vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, he says you have an enemy. Those of you who are so sophisticated, I don't want, like enemies, say, I don't have any enemies in this life. Oh, open your eyes and see. But then there's the extreme on the other hand where, you know, people are always looking for enemies. They say, all my enemies, fall down and die. Now, the unfortunate thing is that you may be your own enemy. And then suddenly, you just went after the prayer meeting. your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking whom he may do what? Devour. He says that the devil goes around from house to house, looking for the watchmen that are asleep. That's what the scripture is basically saying. Okay? And then, the last one is a good one. It says, behold, I am coming, what? As a thief. Even Jesus says he's coming. And he's going to come as what? A thief. Blessed is he who, what? Watches. So whether for evil or for good, you need to watch. Because when he comes, what? He will come as a thief. Which means you will not know. And he will come on sin. And it is only those who are watchful who will see him coming. Tell somebody next to you, say, open your eyes. Tell them, be sober. Those of you who are drinking Bailey's ice cream, you may not see him when he comes. I think God sent me to somebody this night. There is somebody who's been shaking at night. God sent me to you. Tonight is your night. Anytime you take a sip, remember, be sober. So, having laid this foundation, let us now look at what the role of the watchman is. There are seven very quickly that I've highlighted. You know, what are the responsibilities? What are the things we need to do as watchmen? If we're talking about spiritual empowerment, we are asking God to empower us to open our eyes, okay? And so, the first is to see danger coming. You know, the first role of, if you employ the watchman tonight, I think the most important thing you would tell him is that, look, before you see good, at least see danger. If your watchman said, I can only do one, which one will you tell him to see? See the danger, I will see the good when it's coming. So the main is revelation. Everybody say revelation. Now, let me tell you, this is so very important. These are my own examples, you know, which I will talk about. But let me show you a scripture. It says, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 88, in fact, the book is aptly named Revelation. Everybody say Revelation. Revelation is a book of revelations. It says, and I looked. You see, anywhere you see in scripture, I looked, and or God opened my eyes. You need to look closely. It wasn't a casual look. You know, it's like Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, you need to look again. It is important. What he's saying is so very, says, I looked and behold, this looking was not what everybody else did not see what he saw. He said, behold, or I looked and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death and hell. Hey, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill and with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. This is a revelation. Now, I don't know if it has happened or it's going to happen. Now, let me say this. I am not a preacher of eschatology. That's not my forte. Eschatology is the study of the end times. Okay, but I am very, cognizant of the importance of the prophetic. You see, when you read things like this, you don't understand it. Why? Because prophecy is mostly symbolic. It's not literal. But there's a reason why this was put in the book of Revelation. Somebody had a revelation that at a time something is going to happen. Somebody on a pale horse. If you read the whole of Revelation 6, I myself don't fully understand this. But he says one, I think first a red horse, then a white horse, then a black horse, then he says somebody on a pale horse. Sorry? Four horses, yeah. Now, each of them has its symbolism. I think this one represents, it says it itself, death and hell. Now, not only John the Revelator is given to having revelations. All of us can. This is your month of open heavens, isn't it? God will open your eyes. Yeah. You see, listen to this. The economic crisis that we're going through today, God showed some people. I actually had a revelation. I, at the time, did not know it was this. It was 3.5 years ago. I have the CD, the DVD somewhere. It's recorded in a church. I wore a military uniform on the day I preached it. Okay, and it was on the 30th of January, 2005. I had a visitation in my room. I was sleeping. And, you know, like you do, sleeping, lying down, yeah? And I was supposedly deep in sleep. Now, if you're in a dark room and you're sleeping and someone takes a floodlight and passes it over you, will you wake up? Okay, that's what happened to me. There was no floodlight there, but it was like somebody passed a light from my foot up onto my head. And I woke up, but I didn't see any light. So it was the light himself. And you see, when the light came, that light came to search me. It was like, you know what you're talking about, being blameless. and I was found wanting. Within less than a millisecond, the thing went. I woke up and I was like, wow. I said, I am undone. Woe is me, I am undone. And then I heard in my ears, a storm is coming. A storm is coming, and it will shake many to their foundations. And if you are not careful, if you don't, get ready, or if you're not watchful, you will be taken by that storm. And you know what? This was like 4 a.m. in the middle of the night. By about 12 noon, 1 o'clock, one of my intercessors called me. He'd been trying to call me for the last 3 days. And I'll tell him, call back, I'm busy. So he now finally got me. He said, Pastor, for the last 3 days, God has been telling me to call you to tell you a storm is coming. A storm, exactly the same words. And it will shake many. The next conference we had, telling the church, look, a storm is coming. I don't know what, but a storm is coming. The conference that we had with, Miles Morrow, we actually called it Built to Last. And it was about storms, surviving the storm. That Miles even said, he said, what's this whole thing about storms? He said, you will always have storms anyway. I said, no, God said some storms are coming. I counted from then, that's 3.5 years ago, till now, I was in the plane on my way to Nigeria. I wrote the different kind of storms that have hit since then. The tsunami had just hit. But since the tsunami, we've had Hurricane Katrina storm. That's a storm, isn't it? When I mention it, just say storm. Hurricane Katrina. Aha. What's the name of the other one? Okay, is it Mitchell? And Ike. Say storm. Okay. We had an earthquake here in the UK. If anybody told you that in the 21st century that in Milton Keynes there'll be an earthquake, will you believe them? Earthquakes are for Indonesia, aren't they? For poor people. Then we had a flood in Northern England. Everybody say storm.
Storm.
I mean, that killed some people. You remember? If anybody told you floods were for the UK, would you agree? It's for Mozambique. Yeah. We also had we're in a famine. Do you know that? I mean, would you think that in the 21st century that there will be a shortage of food? That's what they say, isn't it? I mean, Tesco is hoarding their food. Isn't that a storm? Okay. That at the same period that oil prices will go up. Okay. And at the same period, property prices will come down. When I said on this message, that the stocks will come down at the same time. People say that usually when property goes up, stocks go down. When they kind of like go this way. But this is one time that people have not they don't understand. It's never happened. But what about the church? Major storms. Deaths. Of people that you say ought not to die. Pastor Bimbo Dukoya, storm. In an air crash. Pastor Esco, storm. Pastor Toifi Hiruku, storm. You may not know this one. Pastor Taye Amakoye, storm. Only recently, just a few months, 2 months ago, a pastor in Redeemed was at a prayer meeting. And while he was praying, he dropped the mic, gave the next person the mic, and as he took a step, he dropped dead, literally. At a prayer meeting. Isn't that a storm? Anything that shakes the norm. Serious business, eh? What about marital storms? All you need to do is turn to TBN and you will see storms, scandals, pastors of supposedly light churches blown over homosexual relationships or some kind of scandal or the other. What I'm saying is this, God reveals. And God said to me that if I myself am not careful, I will be taken by that storm. But by the grace of God, I won't be taken by it. Amen. And time will not permit me to tell you different revelations that God has shown me or given me. I mean, we went through our storm. I mean, I had a dream a few, I think it was last year, early last year, you know, that I was in a house somewhere, like a bungalow, and my family was in it, and I went out to go and check, you know, just to check if it was safe, and, you know, it was one of these houses that didn't have any fences, but had hedges. And, you know, I looked out, in my heart, I was confident, some people are guarding. Have you heard of Reverend Jolaya? He's a serious watchman. So I saw him and I said, oh, they are guarding the house. So I was easy. And I just noticed that a few of them were standing with Reverend Joe, but they weren't really guarding. They were in the garden talking. And before I knew it, I looked around and I saw we were surrounded by an army of people, the enemy. And they came and handcuffed all of us and carried me. And then they also carried all the members of my family out and some other people, and they were taking us somewhere. I did not know. Little did I know that, you know, that had some major significance. Soon after, we lost our building. After the loss of the building, one hit after the other that I cannot even begin to talk about. Betrayal of different categories. And mostly people that were closest to me. One after the other. You know, some kind of conspiracies crafted in hell that you'll be like, wow, where is this one from? I mean, with the moving from the building, I mean, our church's membership, at least 15-20% we lost. I mean, different kinds of attacks. Did God warn? Of course. But watchmen need to respond, and we'll come to that in a while. You know, time will not permit me. I would have given you many examples, but let's move on quickly. The second thing a watchman does is not only he just doesn't see, he also speaks. The Bible says, concerning sounding an alarm, it says in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 3, it says, 1-3, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, you know, basically what he's saying is that watchmen should not just see. When the sword is coming, they have to declare. They have to shout. And that's why I preach the message that it's called building sandcastles. I actually preach a personal incident in my life about how Satan tried to set me up through seduction in a hotel that I went to wait upon the Lord. I mean, maybe I'll make it available to you guys very clearly. And then I now began to talk about the storms. I actually talked about the Wall Street storm. And I said it's happened before. I said it will happen again. You know, I talked about property prices coming down. You see, and why did God allow all of this? Because people's confidences were in the wrong things. I asked a gentleman, a member of our church, the other day as we were going to church. I said to him, he's supposed to be a property guru. I said to him, so how many properties do you have now? He said, not enough. He told his pastor, not enough. I think I found out I had about 26 properties. The guy, you see, in those days, if you had 26 properties, you would be, yeah. Now, if you had 26 properties, if you had 26 properties before, you'd be smiling all over the place. If you have 26 properties now, you'd be like this. Why will he tell his pastor not enough? Because his confidence was in the properties. And that's why God allows storms. So those things that can be shaken will be shaken. The only thing that is not shaken is Christ and our confidence in him. Credit crunch or not, I'm safe. No, not because I'm in church. Because I build my life on the rock. Does that make sense? Okay, so there's sounding the alarm when the storm comes. So those who get it talk about it and say, look, this is what I saw. And because there's a reason why God revealed it to you. Over the night, I had a dream. It's quite a, I don't know if it's for this church or for our church, but let me just say it. I don't know if there's somebody here that has been diagnosed, anyway, maybe later, if you just remind me later at the end of the, okay. It has something to do with testicular cancer. You know, I don't know if it's a diagnosis or a warning. You know, so you need to see me afterwards, please. Testicular cancer or cancer of the prostate. It might have happened to your father or somebody in your life, or there's something about you, or maybe you've gone to the doctors, you know, for something, and it has something really. See me afterwards, please. Then the third thing is watchmen also screen. You know, if you're trying to get into the House of Parliament, what do? You go through, they're trying to search, you know. They don't just assume that anybody that comes in is their friend, is it? Do they? Or you're going to try to enter an airplane. Well, do they just say, oh, I like your face, just pass through. Don't worry, my sister, go through. Do they do that? Uh-huh. Yeah, they don't do that. So watchmen also screen everybody and everything that tries to come in. Okay? Now, listen to this. One thing that we don't do as pastors or people is that we don't screen. We're not discerning people. And what is discernment? Discernment is not suspicion. Okay? And it says, now it happened as we went to prayer, that's Paul and co, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Now, you wouldn't know this if you are not a watchman. Because you will just see a fine girl following you around. Who brought? You see, that's why all you people will just look at you, just, nice girl. You don't know the problem behind that person. Who brought her master's much profit by fortune telling? Okay, and she was even good with business sense again. This girl followed Paul and us. You see, there are all sorts of people that follow us and crying out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. They may even do protocol. Sorry, they're not in this church. Don't worry. I hope not. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. If we, when we go to the House of Parliament, the watchmen screen us. They don't care. They don't look at your face thinking that, oh, well, you look safe. No, everybody that comes in is what? Screened. The same way in our lives, please take note of this, not suspicion. It has to be discernment. If you notice, Paul didn't look at her from the first day and say, you, I suspect that you have marine spirit. She had been around them for a number of days, isn't it? And she had been shouting praise and worship. You are the holy man of God. But the day he got annoyed was the day the Spirit told him, you know, that this lady has the spirit of divination. And you see, this is so important because, you see, all sorts of people come into our... I'm trying to be careful as I say this, because now people who... There are all sorts of stuff, all sorts. There are people who have seen all sorts. People who get close to the pastors but have an agenda. You know, adultery is the worst cases of adultery are usually the closest person to the spouse. Either how will we put it now? Husband and wife, the wife's best friend is the one, or husband and wife, the husband's best friend is. You see, so. They may be saying, oh, yes, these are the men of the Most High God. And they are the greatest tithe payers in church and everything. But you need to be a watchman. Yeah, you cannot watch by seeing, this one carries a Louis Vuitton bag. So if you carry Louis Vuitton, it's okay. My wife carries, kind of. I won't tell you what the kind of means. But, but you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, you know, We judge after the sight of our eyes too much. And please be careful, no suspicion. You know, I thought this period of this storm, the people that have hit me the most, I had to count on my fingers one day, 11 people in 2 years. They almost wanted to finish me. And each of these 11 people are people that have been to my house. Not everybody in my church has been. And when they started leaving the church, at the same time. And then the malicious kind of things that the things they said, if when people heard them, they would believe them because this person was too close. Don't let me say what I was going to say, but let me hear. Okay, number four, you know, watchmen also set up reinforcements. They set up reinforcements. Why? Because as they see, as they proclaim, as they screen, what do? They also strengthen. What does that mean? If you look at the scriptures in Ephesians 6, where he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Then he says this. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to do what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What are the fiery darts? Again, these personalities without bodies, they're intelligent, but you know what? They also have weapons, which are unseen too. It makes it worse. Which means they can stand from afar and shoot, and you will not see it, and it hits you. And where do they usually hit? Your mind. And because it's unseen, when by the time it touches your mind, you think it's your own thought. So they shoot things like, you know, you're going to die. They shoot things like your marriage is going to break up. They shoot all sorts of things. But let me tell you why. What actually triggered my talking about this message? As in this period of these storms we're talking about, within the last 2 years, it was actually last year, one of our daughters, a member of our church, she just called one day and said she'd been diagnosed as having cancer of the womb. This is a girl that is a virgin. I mean, I was in shock. Isn't that a thief? You are not looking, you are not one, you know, you're not even, and it just comes something just comes and says that your life is going to, from now on, going to begin to seep away. That is that man on the horse. Hell and death. It comes to take people's life before, and you know, so we said chemotherapy also, you know, and so the doctors literally just said, well, it's localized, okay, chemotherapy will do it, I think. Just 2 days ago, a day or two ago, she, you know, my wife went to see her and, you know, they said, the doctor said that none of the chemo is working. And that they give her 18 months to live. Somebody who's a worker in church, somebody's. So I literally heard this yesterday, and you know what? I was hit. Because I feel, when I say I feel this, you see, you can't do everything. I mean, I'm not God. But I said, well, I wish I saw it coming. But okay, even if I didn't see it coming, it's hit now. At least as a watchman, what do I do? At least I can set up reinforcement. Am I making sense? You know, because he says, carrying the shield, he says, what does it say about the shield of faith? Put it up, please. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery. A fiery dart is a dart, an arrow with fire and poison. They shoot it, and the first thing is it pierces you. Second is that it burns you. And the third is that it poisons you. And so it says that, but if you have the shield of faith, which means it's coming for you, it has your name and your number on it, but if you can put the faith up, as it were, it won't hit you. So it's been sent. They've sent it in words, you will die. But I've also heard and seen a man who they had cancer of the mouth and it had eaten his face. And they condemned him to death in the hospital. And my general overseer's wife went to see him in the place. I said, look, they say you are going to die, but okay, good. somebody actually, the brothers and sisters took him home and said, come and die in your country. And they took him to the camp. The brother himself told me, Pastor Nims. And they took him to camp. And every morning, Mommy Gio would go and anoint his face with oil. Anoint his face. There was a big mass until that thing dropped off. The boy is alive today. What I'm saying is, spiritual empowerment is not just sight, it's not just declaration, it's not just discernment. You need to build up your faith. And you see, with building up your faith, it takes you to the next place, which is you have to prepare for war too. Because that thing that has come, that they say, your marriage, someone, one man in our church too, all these storms, in within this period, when I had that visitation, in our church, we never had a case of divorce. Within a period of 2 years, we had 4 cases. One of them that was a threatened divorce, the year before, we gave them the award of the best couple. That's why this thing is unseen. You understand? It's not what we see. And so we're giving them the award of the best couple. And you see, when the thing is coming, you know, you have to begin warfare. You now need to begin to pray, because now, you know, it is either you pick it up before it hits, or when it hits, you know they're inside your house. That's how you now see them. You see what they've stolen. And you see, many of you, you're dealing with the things you're dealing with in the physical. But there's an unseen enemy at work in your house. And so, the Bible says in the book of Nahum, it says, he who scatters has come up before your face, which means he's in your house. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. That is the time. Right now, we are going, Pastor, Shola told me you are also in a season of fasting and prayer. You started first of the, I started on the 3rd. We are finishing on the 23rd, 21 days. But I was in Nigeria when I picked it up that we needed to fortify. That something is coming. We need to hit. We need to begin to fortify ourselves. And then number 6 is to keep constant guard. Watchmen. Also, they don't just wait till there's an attack. What do? They ensure that there is constant guard. And we see this in the book of Solomon chapter, I think it's chapter, is it chapter 6? 3 verse 6 to 7. It says, behold, it is Solomon's couch. Solomon was a king with 60 valiant men around it. Of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear of the night. They said, what this scripture is saying is that Solomon had 60 watchmen who followed him everywhere. And they always had their swords. How many of you know what the sword is in scripture? The sword of the spirit, which is what? The word of God. So what in today's parlance, we don't carry a physical sword. But you see, our churches, Pastor, although the pastor is the ultimate workman, we need. Day and night. You know, they set up a watch. And it has to be people who know how to fight, not fight physically, but they know how to use the sword of the spirit. Valiant men who know how to deal with things when they're coming. They who know how to speak the word of God into situations. You know, like I said, I haven't shared this in our church, but I have to. So you're even enjoying the benefits before. And then the last thing is to declare when good is coming. Watchmen don't just watch for danger. They also watch for when good is coming. I've come to announce to you that this is your time. I said, I've come to announce to you that this is your time. Yeah. The Bible says concerning Jacob in Genesis 28, verse 16. I want to show you something. Where do watchmen stand? Tell me, where do they usually stand? Where? Top where? Where? At the gate. Your watch night, where does he stand? Usually at the gate, or maybe somewhere in the wall, somewhere. In Israel, it was at the wall. But watchmen, most of them usually stand at the gate, isn't it? Yeah, because they open the door to a visitor and close the door to an enemy. Yeah, but see what happens here. In if you're talking about spiritual empowerment, Genesis 28:16 says that then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. What? We fight against personalities without bodies. But those who are with us are more than what? Those who are against us. And while we fight against personalities without bodies, we also have on our side personalities without bodies. God is a person without a body. The angels are persons without what? Bodies. And he says, God is in this place and I did not know it. And you see, there are some people who are, all their watch is just for evil. Hey, what spirit of this is coming? This spirit, when will you tell us God is here? And then the Bible says in verse 7, and he was afraid. I said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is what? The gate of heaven. Jacob was a watchman. Watchmen stand at the gate. And so, listen to this. Where is the gate? The gate is just an entry point. And so if you're a watchman, you should be able to discern when God comes. Because like we said, when he comes, he would also come like a thief, which is unannounced. And you have to be sensitive to know when God has come in a place. I believe very strongly, I know for a certain, and anywhere that evil begins to mount up, it means that God wants to come in. And so Satan wants to take that territory before God comes in. God is in this place. Amen. Let's stand up and pray.